And verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, those of the flesh have been told about, the works of the flesh, they've been, they're contained there in verses 19 through 21, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Hang on to that, because that's going to be something that's going to be manifested in this message, I trust. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and desires, if you will, the way the flesh would want to go. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain or empty glory, provoking one another, envying one another. There in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith. Against such there is no law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this time that we can come to you and before you to worship you. We thank you for your people that have come out this day to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you would help us, that we might worship you in a way that you'd be pleased, in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Help us now as we look into your word, Father, that you'd speak to us. And Lord, that we'd have open and receptive hearts, open and receptive ears to your word, Father, and just soften us that we might hear those things that you have for us. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, we pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that this would be the time. Lord, reveal yourself unto them as you only can. Show them the Lord Jesus Christ, precious to the salvation of their soul. And Lord, that he is the only way to life eternal. He's the only way to you. And we pray, Father, that you would just work and save. Move with your Spirit and give us words to speak, Father, that you might be pleased to use. Help us now, we pray, and Lord, that we might worship, praise your name. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, and for his sake, amen. Here, the fruit of the Spirit are mentioned, as we've read again, and faith being one of those fruits. We took a look last time at how the Lord defined faith in his ministry, and we remind you of how the Lord there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 says, by fruit is how the Lord's people are going to be known, and it's how false prophets and those that would come in sheep's clothing but inwardly ravening wolves, it's by fruit that is how they'll be known. It's by fruit how you and I will be known as the Lord's children. As Brother Bobby read this morning, in the vine, the branches bear fruit. In the Lord Jesus Christ, those branches that are grafted into him bear fruit. It's the way that it is. It's just like gravity. It's just like the sun coming up in the morning and going down in the evening. It's the way that God has established it to be. In Romans chapter 8, we've read in verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, is it so? Does the Spirit of God dwell in us? Now, do that introspection, that soul searching, if you will. Does the Spirit of God live in you? We saw in the message last Sunday how that is by the Spirit. It brings salvation and how the Spirit moves in the people of the Lord that he has saved. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so if the Spirit of God's living within, these fruit are going to be manifested, and it'll be known that the Spirit of God is living within. And we all need to take a look and consider that. We took a look at how man has no faith naturally, only feelings. And feelings are what's resorted to many times by us. But how the Lord defined faith in many ways, and different folks that he dealt with. But this morning, we want to take a look at the Lord's fruit of faith challenge to us. The Lord's challenge of faith to us. You know, 1 John chapter 5, take a look over here real quick. In 1 John chapter 5, the apostle writes to us, the Lord speaks to us here. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, is not overtaken by the world, is not overcome by the world, but overcomes the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not faith in ourselves, not faith in some system, not even faith in the church, but faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord and what he says, that it's so, that it is worth following, that it is worth believing, that it is worth applying to our lives. That the Word of God is not just some thing out here that we take in and we remember and memorize and get a handle on to be able to know it. But as our study and on Sunday evenings there in the book of James, that we know it and we do it. We know it and we do it. We hear it and we obey it. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The saved. The saved by faith overcome the world. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord makes a challenge here and speaking about the widow that comes here and this judge. And gives this account, this parable about this widow and this judge and how it is, how she just plagued the man. She just badgered him for what she wanted, this thing, this avenging that she wanted. And in verse number 6 of Luke 18, the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge saith. He says, I don't give a lick about God. I don't give a lick about man. I don't give a lick about this woman. But for my convenience, I'm going to give her what she wants, lest by her continual coming, she trouble me, she bother me. Hear what the unjust judge saith, the Lord says, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The Lord will give an answer to his children. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. If the judge will do such a thing by a woman coming to him and wearying him, how will God deal with his children who are his own, who he's bought with a price, when they come to him, not take care of their request, not take care of this in their lives? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Not just a dialogue about faith, not just a claim to faith, but will the Lord find faith among his people? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the honor roll of faith. There's no greater passage, at least that came to mind in the study of this message and the consideration of this message. The honor roll of faith here about this, a challenge to us. A challenge to us. How? By those that have gone before us that have been faithful. No doubt in your life, you can think of those in your life since you've been saved, or those that the Lord used in your life to be a witness to you and carrying the gospel to you, being a witness to you before the Lord and his salvation, about their faith and how that was an encouragement to you, how that was a witness of God being real unto you because they believed and practiced that God was real. And here, this passage comes to us, and in chapter 10, the apostle has spoken to these Hebrews that he writes to about disobedience, about willful sin, about not believing what God says. And he's spoken to them about that, and he says in verse number 38 of chapter 10, now the justified shall live by faith. It won't be an option. It's going to happen that way. It's going to be that way, just like those other things that we've mentioned. But if any draw back, my soul, says the Lord, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. Those that are truly saved, those that are saved by the Lord, are not of them who draw back into perdition, draw back into that sinful, wicked way that they were supposedly rescued from. But we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. And then he goes off here into chapter 11, and he says, perseverance by faith. In our study on Sunday afternoons about James, how is it to show that you believe? The theme comes across to us there in James, in that book of James. How is it that you show you believe? By keeping on believing. By keeping on believing. I've mentioned to you a brother that says to folks that have fallen off, have gone wayward, have claimed the name of Christ and were members in his kind of church and then just slowly fell away. He asked them, why hasn't your everlasting life lasted? Why hasn't your everlasting life lasted? Remember when the Lord was here on the day of his ministry and working those things to bring salvation to you and me. He was amongst his church, wasn't he? He was with his church. He was tending to his church. Church, the Lord's church and service in the Lord's church is a great privilege to us. It's a great privilege that we've been given. And not everybody has been given that. Even those saved have not been given that. The Lord has given that to us, and we need to be faithful in it. And he comes here and he tells us now in chapter 11, in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What you can put your hands on. The substance. That exercising, that showing forth of faith, the child of God exhibits. It's that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Not a marginal report, not a poor report, but by the exercising in their faith, showing out in their lives, not something that they said, but that which God said to them and spoke to them that they took and that caused them to move and do in their lives for the Lord. It brought a good report. By whom? By the Lord. A good report by the Lord. Why is that? How do we know that that's the case and not just the report of other men? Because in these accounts that are listed here, many of them are written in this same book. And who determined what report would be written? The Lord did. It's His oracle. It's His word. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God made this creation. He created it so that things which are seen, what we can see out there today, are made of things which do appear. God took and He formed the world out of nothing by His voice. And by His power and might, and by faith, we believe that. By faith, back at the beginning, Abel offered unto God, what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He obeyed. He obeyed what his daddy taught him. He obeyed what had been ordained by the Lord. And in that, the Lord gives account that it was a more excellent sacrifice that he offered. A witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Why? Because God listed down his good report in the Word of God. Faith. Even though Abel was murdered because of his righteousness cost him, didn't it? It did. But his testimony speaks on some 6,000 years later, here today to you and me. Faith, faith, testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh, testifying of his gifts. It worked in his life. He took what God said and it worked in his lives. By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In Genesis 5, it says that he walked with God. Are you and I walking with God? Are we walking with God by faith? Enoch did, and it made God smile. It pleased the Lord, and he took him. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's there, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wanting to know more about where God is, wanting to know more about God, wanting to know about the Lord's ways rather than his acts. Wanting to see the big picture that God sees. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith in what? Faith in ourselves? Faith in our endurance? Faith in our grit? No, faith in Him. Faith in Him. Mentioned in Sunday school class this morning about how subtle the promises of the Lord are. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know what that's saying to us? If we, in everything that we say, do, and think, take it and put it up before the Lord, say, Lord, what do you think about this? Acknowledging that he's got a say in it. Does he? Does he have a say in each and every aspect of our lives? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. If we say, Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, what do you think about me saying this? Lord, what do you think about me thinking this? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Isn't that what it says? The promises of the Lord. Faith in the Lord. By faith, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hang on to that. We're going to see more of it here coming. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, God's word, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah ended up, him and his family, because of obedience, ended up over there on the other side of the flood, being one of 8 souls rescued by God. Why? He believed the Lord. What if he hadn't? Wouldn't have been no rescue, would there? But he believed the Lord. The Lord said, do this, he did it. The Lord told him to work, and he did it. You know, Noah worked for 100 years or so on that ark. What a 100-year, 125-year ministry. And you and I, we get tired in the day, don't we? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. He became heir of righteousness. His righteousness by his obedience of God. You know what righteousness does? It will condemn those around that are not obedient. That's something that we need to get over. That obeying God and doing what's right will crowd some people. Our life is not to be lived to accommodate others from the sense of not making them feel bad. But if something that the Lord has said for us to do or not do, or to follow him in obedience, if that crowds the next guy, that needs to have no impact on us. That's our witness to them. That's our witness to them. His righteousness, it condemned the world. It told the world that they were wrong. When they heckled him, when they mocked him, when they said, what are you talking about? Rain. Rain? Rain what? What are you talking about? Rain. Water coming from the heavens. It condemned the world. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. And God said it, he grabbed a hold of it, and he obeyed it. He followed the Lord in it. And you know what? It condemned everybody that he was around and that he left. His claim of the Lord there in the land of Canaan, it condemned those that were around him. But the Lord called him, and he heard, and he believed. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went not out knowing whether he went. He did not go by sight, but he went by faith. This God, God Almighty, that has called me to go, I am putting my trust and all in him. What he says, I will do. He knew not how the Lord would accomplish this. He went not by sight, but by faith. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. You know what? Was it such that Abraham, when he dwelt in Ur of the Chaldees, had a house? But when he went to Canaan, he lived in a tent for the rest of his life. His son after him lived in tents for the rest of his life. They were sojourners. They were strangers in the land. They didn't have an inheritance yet, but they were promised one. And Jacob and his sons lived in tents. Maybe nothing was built by any of them till they ended up in the land of Goshen, possibly. We don't know. But he followed, even though it cost him living in a house, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Looking for that city of the Lord. Looking for that habitation of the Lord. Looking for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled unto them. And in the meantime, following after the Lord. That next step of obedience. Faith. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You remember when Sarah laughed? But after the Lord chided her, after the Lord rebuked her, she believed then, didn't she? That's what the scripture says. She believed, and of her that was 90-some years old, past bearing age, the son of promise was born to her. Therefore, verse 12, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Abraham, being able to have a child, he was as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Because he believed. Because he believed what the Lord said and took it and applied it to his life. One child, Isaac. From Abraham to Isaac, a nation multiplied. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then an innumerable number of children. It looked like there was going to be no child for Abraham and Sarah. No child for Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac and Jacob, and then no doubt millions and maybe even billions of Jews since that time. Oh, the blessing of the Lord. He says here that they were as the sand of the sea, which is by the seashore, innumerable. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Did they bail out on God because they didn't receive the end of it? No. But having seen them afar off, listen, and were persuaded of them. They knew that they were true. Because they didn't receive the fulfillment, the complete fulfillment of it in their time, they didn't give up on God. They knew that he would do what he wanted and what he was pleased to do in their time. And they had that vision for the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and so on. They were persuaded of them. What's it say? And embraced them. And what does it say? And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They embraced those promises. They were persuaded of those promises. And they confessed and told and proclaimed the promises of God. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, not this world, but that which the Lord had for them. And truly, if they had been mindful, if they would think back to the Ur of the Chaldees from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but they said, no. The Lord says, go forward in faith, moving forward, following and walking with the Lord. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Because of their faithfulness, God's not ashamed to call Abraham his son. God's not ashamed to call Isaac and Jacob his sons. They were faithful. They believed God. God spoke. They believed it. They hung on to it. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Read verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly. Not when it's convenient. Not when it fits into the schedule, but first, and everything all the time. First and foremost, putting Jesus first. Right, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, yeah, that trial, that testing of the Lord upon him, we'll all face that, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Wait a minute. The promise is give it in Isaac, and if I take him up there and kill him and offer him to the Lord, how can it be accomplished? What's it say? Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Isaac was born to Abraham when in his loins he was past being able to have a child. He received him, as it were, from the dead. And having received his son as God had promised, Abraham believed that God would be able to do whatever needed to be done to make his promise in Isaac come to pass. Even though Abraham, if Abraham would have sacrificed him there on that day, Abraham believed God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He didn't put his child first, but he put the Lord first. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten. He didn't put his child first. He didn't put what he wanted first. He put the Lord first, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, saying that God has promised it to my daddy. God has promised it to me. He's promised it unto you, and he'll bring it to pass. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Joseph was faithful too, wasn't he? So faithful was Joseph, even when he was done dirty, when he was done wrong. He submitted it to the Lord. He gave it over to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Joseph, instead of being represented as one tribe of Israel, saw his sons being adopted essentially by his father to have a representation of two tribes in Israel. He believed God. He believed God and no one else. He believed God by faith Joseph verse 21, by faith Jacob when he was dying blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I think about when Jacob was there before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him, said, how old are you? So I'm 130 years old. Few and evil have been the days of my life and my pilgrimage. He doesn't say it outright there, but Jacob has come to a point that says, I've come as far as I've come because of the grace of the Lord. Because of the grace and mercy of the Lord upon this wicked sinner is the reason I've made it to this day, for me and my posterity to be preserved, by being brought out of the famine in Canaan and brought to Egypt to be sustained. It's the Lord that has delivered me. He worshiped on leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, verse 22, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones, saying, don't bury me here, but bury me in the land promised to daddy, to granddaddy, to great granddaddy, and to us. The Lord is going to accomplish that which he will do. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, Amram and Jochebed. They were faithful, and they believed what God said, because they said they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They feared the Lord. They desired the way of the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to take it on the chin and go away from the easy part and go towards the suffering and affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the payday of the reward. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's it say in verse 6? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what Moses believed. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We live in a world of sight and touch, right? Sight and feel. What people want is what they can experience, what they can, pardon me, feel with their bodies, what they can see with their eyes. But Moses saw him by faith who is invisible. He says, God is my Savior. God is my Lord. I must follow him. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover, and we've seen about that, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. How can a lamb and blood on a doorpost and on a lintel keep my firstborn from dying? He believed God. They believed God. By faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with which the Egyptians assaying to do so, to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho there with Joshua fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We got to do this 3 more days? Let's just go and fight against the city and take them. No, they believed what God said, as unconventional as it seemed, as strange as it seemed. God said it. We believe it. Let us march around this city for 7 days and see what the Lord brings to pass. They believed. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. We've heard about your God, and we've trembled at you coming our way. And she says, I want a God like your God. The gods that we have are no gods. I want a God like your God. I'll hide you. And when you come and surely take the city, not if, but when you come and take the city, be merciful to me and my house. Because it's in God. She saw it in God. By faith, Rahab, the harlot Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She, by doing so and being taken in to Israel, she became the great-great-grandmother of the sweet psalmist David, the king of Israel, the one whom the Lord promised the Savior would come from. She became a part of that by faith. And what shall we say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Them. And their faith and believing in God and trusting him, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Hear what that says? Through faith they did those things. Through looking to God, through trusting in the Lord, they subdued kingdoms when it was impossible. They wrought righteousness. It was unbelievable. They obtained the promises given by God to them. They stopped the mouths of lions, Daniel did. Quenched the violence of fire, as the Hebrew children did there before Nebuchadnezzar. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. As the prophet was there with his servant, and they were surrounded by the host of the enemy, and the prophet said, show my servant the deliverance of the Lord, and the angels were all over the place. By faith, believing God in living. Women received their dead raised to life again, verse 35. And you know, to this point, all these things have been marvelous and wonderful and good, as we would say, relative to our flesh, relative to our life on this earth, relative to this body. They've been good things, but it doesn't stop there. And others were tortured. and endured it by faith, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, because they believed God. They believed and had faith in Him. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And they endured it by faith. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, because of their faith in the Lord. They trusted God. Doesn't sound too appealing to the flesh, does it? But they were looking for another city. They were looking for that being with the Lord. They were looking to their Savior. It says here in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, faithful children of the King. The world was not worthy to be exposed to their witness of their God, to see the faith that they have in God. The world wasn't worthy of it. But nevertheless, the Lord was pleased to have them there. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, God says, I'm well pleased with their faith in me. They, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't see the Savior come. They knew that the Savior was coming. They knew that salvation and deliverance would only be through God Almighty, somehow, some way, because He said He would bring it. But they didn't see the climax of it. But by faith, they looked forward to it. They didn't receive it. Why? God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. You remember how it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about the children of Israel being there with Moses and being there and seeing the miracles of God, seeing the deliverance of God, seeing all those workings of God and God's deliverance of them out of Egypt. How they all saw it, but many of them didn't believe. They didn't have faith in the Lord. And with those that did not believe, the Lord was not well pleased. Those things were written for our examples, upon whom the ends of the world are come, that we might see that when God says something, He means it. He'll do it, and He'll bring it to pass, so that we might have faith. You know what that's saying to us there in those latter verses of that chapter? These folks went through these things, and the time that they went through them, they were faithful. The report is written about them by God. So you and I can have that witness. Will you and I be faithful? Read again what it says. In verse number 39, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, in their lifetime and in their place, they were faithful. They didn't receive the end of the promises and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. God having provided some better thing for us. Because you know what? You and I live at a time where the Lord has come. We look back to the Lord Jesus Christ having come, lived, suffered, bled, and died, be buried, and raised again for our justification, for our salvation. They look forward to it. And the apostle writing to these here, these Hebrews, he's saying, and we have been here right in the midst of it. We've seen it. We've seen Jesus come. We've seen it. We've been close to it. We've heard about it. We've talked to those that were right there up against Him, those that went with Him in His ministry. The Lord having that better thing for us, that we could see the fulfillment of the promise, that they, without us, that they're the purpose of their life, the purpose of their witness and their testimony, the purpose of their faith, the working of God in that, and that being as it is with them, it wouldn't be fulfilled until it came and was a witness to us. That's the same way with you and me. The working of the Word of God. He's given His Word. He's given these accounts. He's given these reports for you and me. Because we're right now here and we're living. And we've got life in front of us to live for the Lord. Will you and I be faithful? Or will we be looking around at the world and seeing what the world's going to do? Will we follow the Lord? And if it's a condemnation to those around us, so be it. May God use us to be a good witness to them. How will it be? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That's all the purpose and plan of God. Chapter 12. Wherefore? Because of all that, brethren, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin that so doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before you and me. And let us run it with faith. With faith. It's possible. Because God's given us the account that it's possible through faith in Him by these others that the Lord has mentioned in the pit passages here. Let us put aside that weight. Let us put aside that sin. Let us put aside that doubt. And let us run with faith and with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He is the witness. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, Jesus was faithful. He met opposition. His faithfulness took Him to death for our sakes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God, for consider Him that endured such doubt, gainsaying, dispute, and disobedience. That's what that word contradiction of sinners against Himself, what that means. Everybody was against Him. But He was faithful. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds of being faithful. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin as the Lord did. Here with this cloud of witnesses, they all dealt with some, and they all dealt with something, and they did not want things God's way, but they believed in God's way to the end of their lives. They wanted what God wanted, this cloud of witnesses. They desired that, and they put that first, as Jesus put that first, what His Father wanted. How will it be with you and me? Will you and I be found faithful? When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth being exhibited by His children? The Lord's fruit of faith challenge to you and me. Do you manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Has our faith fruit waxed cold? Do you have any faith fruit at all? May the Lord help us to see that. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Against such there is no law. For you, those of you that are here and not saved, the Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, that's how faith comes for the child of God too, by what God says and believing it, grabbing a hold of it. What was it that it said there? They were persuaded of those promises. They were embraced the Word of God. They confessed and proclaimed the Word of God as they lived. In Acts chapter 8, Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. And he said, answered and said, the eunuch did, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe and trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the taking of your guilt, your sin laid upon Him, His righteousness laid upon you? Faith. Faith. In John chapter 20, John writes at the end of the account of the ministry of the Lord, and as the Lord goes there to the cross, He says, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, that He's the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through His name." Faith. You're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is by grace through faith. The grace has been partially exhibited in that the Word of God has come to you so that you can hear. And we pray that the Lord will open your eyes that you might see it as you've never seen it before. And that believing, you might have life. Life through Jesus' name. In John chapter 20, turn over here. You're here this morning and you're not saved. As I mentioned last time, the only account of a form of the word faith being used here in the Scripture, having to do with Thomas not being with the church there in the first Sunday when the Lord appeared to His church. But then the second Sunday, a week later, in verse number 26 of John chapter 20, "And after 8 days, again His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith the Lord, He unto Thomas, to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Child of God, it's not about us being rough and tough, having grit, having will, having ability, or a purpose of heart and mind within ourselves, but it's about faith in the Lord and what He said. That's where it's at. Has God said it? Do we believe it unto putting it into practice in our lives? For you that are here this morning and not saved, be not faithless, but believe. Believe, repent, admit before God that you're guilty and that you need to admit before God that you're guilty. That you are guilty, that you're that wicked sinner, that in and of yourself you have no hope. You're on your way to hell. Lost, condemned, undone. You have no hope. There's nothing that can save you. There is no one that can save you but Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Believe in Him.